So today, as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, we're going to be in the book of Leviticus together. So imagine that you're the nation of Israel. You were just rescued by Yahweh out of slavery in Egypt with dramatic evidences of his power, the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, the provision in the wilderness. And now Yahweh is actually living among his people in the middle of the camp, talking to Moses. The people would wonder, who is this God? Who is this Yahweh who has chosen them from among the nations, made them his own? How could they possibly relate to him, much less come to him? How could the nation of Israel approach this wonderful, awesome, powerful, and holy God? The answer is given to us in Leviticus. That's what that book is there for. My small group is studying Leviticus right now, and it's so good, but I know it's easy to get lost in the details. A sacrificial system, a priesthood, a setting so foreign from our own. But the point of Leviticus could be summarized in chapter 10, verse 3, when Yahweh says, "By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy. And before all the people, I will be honored." Yahweh, in Leviticus, he's the same God who we worship, who we've sung about. The God with whom we've been reconciled by Jesus' blood in the gospel. And this God reveals himself as deserving and demanding honor because he is holy. He can only be approached by those who have been made holy by the means that he has provided. Let's skim the first part of Leviticus together, and I think it's going to be helpful to prepare our hearts for communion. So in Leviticus, it's the third book, chapters 1 through 6. You don't have to look at all of it. It's Yahweh's instruction to Moses about how the people can come to him, how they can be made right before God, clean when they're unclean, holy in their defilement. Sin separated them from Yahweh, and therefore sacrifices would always be necessary. There would need to be constant slaughter of innocent animals, substituting for the guilty people. Blood everywhere. And all according to very specific rituals that had to be followed to the letter. One whole tribe, the Levites, they were set aside to administer the sacrificial system, to teach, and to go into the presence of Yahweh on behalf of the people. And if approaching Yahweh required such care on behalf of all the people, you can imagine how the priests going into his presence required a very special setting apart, a distinct care and fear. And that's chapter 6 and 7. They lay out the particulars of the priest's duty. And then chapter 8 is where we're going to start. It actually describes the very first time that the priests were set apart and did the sacrifices. So look at chapter 8. What I want you to see is that they could not come. The priests, Moses, Aaron, his sons, they could not come however they wanted. Sincerity of heart and a desire was necessary. But everything had to be done. Look at 8 verse 4. Chapter 8 verse 4. Just as Yahweh had commanded. This is repeated over and over again. It's the chorus of chapters 8 and 9. It says, Moses did as Yahweh commanded. 8:9, 8:13, 8:17, 8:21, 8:29, 8:36, 9:7, 9:10, 9:16, 9:21. Moses, as he wrote this, wanted to focus on it was done just as Yahweh commanded. Moses, Aaron, and his sons, they honored God. They honored him as holy by being careful to do exactly what he had said. So as they slaughtered the animals on behalf of the people, and the chapters labor to show that they did exactly what chapters 6 and 7 had described, 9:23, look how God responded. The glory of Yahweh appeared to all the people, 9:23. And fire came out from before Yahweh. Imagine yourself looking at this. They just did this elaborate ritual, exactly as God said, and fire comes out and consumed the burnt offering. And when the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their face. Imagine yourself there in worship. Then two of Aaron's sons thought that it would be pretty cool to get in on that. Chapter 10, verse 1, it starts, Nadab and Abihu, they offered fire before Yahweh that he hadn't commanded them, clearly in contrast to chapters 8 and 9. Maybe they were caught up in the moment, but for whatever reason, they didn't pay careful attention. They didn't do exactly according to the command of Yahweh. They tried to come to him with a method that seemed right to them. And did God accept them for their sincerity? No, he incinerated them on the spot. And fire, verse 2 of chapter 10, fire came out from Yahweh, and it didn't consume the sacrifice. It consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu probably had no malice or wickedness when they did this. They may have prepared for the service with sincerity and reverence as they understood it. But all such claims are worthless before God when they violate his command. They are vain and weak to defend against God's wrath for setting aside his plan. And I wish we could spend a ton of time here, but I just want to call your attention to a couple things as we close, as we move towards communion. As we look beyond the sacrifices of Leviticus and the lessons we learn there, and we remember a more perfect sacrifice, a better sacrifice. So imagine the effect on Israel and the priesthood after this happened. A fear of Yahweh would permeate. Each time a sacrifice was offered, a question might have been in the back of their mind. Am I doing this right? Is this enough? Is this exactly according to his command? Is this sufficient? Will Yahweh accept the sacrifice, or will I share the fate of Nadab and Abihu? You may also, looking at the system day after day, year after year, you'd recognize the futility of regular sacrifices. They're done one day, and the next you need to do it again. It would be exhausting. All of a life lived a constant awareness of the distinctions between clean and unclean, holy and defiled. The high priest would have to make that, and they'd cry out, isn't there a better way? And then a millennium and a half later, a better way, the promised one arrived. Jesus, dying on the cross, doing away with that sacrificial system by once and for all, offering himself, perfect priest, offering the perfect sacrifice for sin. The path to God still is and must be paved with blood, but no longer the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of God himself. The author of Hebrews writes, if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of a defiled person with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ offered without blemish to God purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In the sacrifices of animals, there's a reminder of sins every year, for it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus ended the endless cycle of sacrifices that could never really work. He was simultaneously the perfect priest, not needing to atone for his own sin, and the perfect once-for-all sacrifice. He could truly take our sins on himself and give us actual purification, actually reconciling us to God. God must be recognized as holy. He must be respected, but we do no longer approach him with the same fear and trepidation that they would have in the old system. We can approach him in confidence by Jesus' blood, in fear and awe at the cost that it took to open this way, and in worshipful thankfulness to the God who would provide for us exactly what he demands, himself, Jesus. And it's Jesus that we remember with bread and juice at communion today. But as you do that, remember Nadab and Abihu. God won't accept just any sacrifice. Nadab and Abihu show us God's wrath unappeased. And if you come to God with anything but the blood of Jesus, no matter how sincere you are, no matter how hard you tried, your fate will be like Nadab and Abihu's for eternity. The world cries out that there are many ways to God. Don't judge me and my ideas. But the Bible says the path to God is singular. It's faith in Jesus Christ. So we remember now that perfect body broken and his blood poured out for you. And remember it as the only way, the way that God provided, the way that God commanded. And if you're not a Christian, if you're hoping in anything other than Jesus to pay for your sins and get you to God, then this time isn't for you. If you're not a Christian or this doesn't make sense, you don't believe, please don't leave today without talking to me. I'm going to be at the information table. Grab me or one of the elders or anyone sitting next to you. But please remember Nadab and Abihu. Don't trust in your own methods, your own sincerity, your own goodness. Honor God and recognize his holiness by turning and clinging to the only way God has made to approach himself, the perfect sacrifice that he provided, Jesus. Men, please serve us and remember Jesus by taking the bread and juice on your own.